Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you lead it on when I'm falling down? Now the tears are falling from your face. I never learned from all of my mistakes. How we gonna carry on? Can anybody be this strong when we're falling down right now?
Continue mission. Once again, folks. Here we go. Hold on a second, folks. I got a little beeping sound there. All right. So welcome to the show. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. And the one thing that I really want to bring to the forefront is that so many people around and said, you know, things are just not the way they used to be. It's like, you know, the prices are going up, and that's all true. But what you're not seeing is the quiet war that is being waged in America for the enjoyment and the distraction of rich men north of Richmond. That's a fact, folks. That is a fact. They want to get white people, black people, hating Asian people, Asian people hating Hispanic people, the American Indian hating white people. They want to create so much distraction and diversion, and they are kicking our butts and have been doing so for many years. People say, well, it's Joe Biden. Oh, it goes back a lot further than Joe Biden, folks. I'll admit Joe Biden's reign here is a little bit more on a high roll. It's like they all freaking took an eight ball hit of whatever. They're all smoking crack, and they think that you and me are stupid. They think you're dumb. And you know what? We are dumb because we keep voting for the same idiotic, moronic, loudmouth, boistering, cockamamie nonsense. And so we get to eat the dinner that we've made for ourselves. Now it's time. It is time to get ourselves up off the ground, because these weak politicians, let me tell you something. It didn't take a song to wake a lot of us up. Song is uniting people. When you see the black community listen to a country music song saying, that guy's spot on, and we're going to play that song here in just a little bit. But we're also going to play a couple more. I want you to hear the words. The words to this song. And listen to what people are saying, because they're putting out truth. You know, in one of these songs, it's a song, and it talks about if a person puts on blackface, they're condemned for life. But now they put on a dress, and they're looked like a hero. A man can wear a dress and be looked at as a hero. Come your heroes. Nonsense and bull nonsense. I'm trying not to say curse words. I really am. But, you know, it's time that we stand up and say, I'm not going to take it no more. Stop voting for these clowns. We got clowns that are running for office. I mean real damn clowns here. I'm talking about people that you wouldn't pick, you wouldn't ever pick, if they was even the last person you would rather play with five people instead of six people, because you wouldn't pick their ass to play on the team. But you vote for them to represent you in Congress, in the Senate, in the White House, in the governor's mansion, and they're cutting all these deals. They're dirty, they're nasty, they're sneaky, they steal. Would you trust them in your house with your daughter? If you can't, you cannot vote for them unless you're a freaking moron. It's a shame. It's a shame that we have to do this, but it's just the way it is. You know, women are women because it is the way God made you. You're men because God made you that way. And I don't want to just hit on this trans nonsense, but it is nonsense. It's a freaking mental illness. Let's just call it what it is. I'm going to get canceled. I hope so, because I'll tell you what, I've noticed that everybody that's getting canceled, man, their popularity is going up. Y'all tried to pull that shit with Bud Light, and it didn't work too good. When you got canceled, you got canceled. And you've just all but destroyed the entire a beer industry that's been around for over 100 freaking years, and y'all have killed it in less than 100 days. Less than 100 days. That's the woke agenda. And it's nonsense. We don't care who you sleep with. I don't care what color you are. What I care about is you get your ass up and you go to work and you put your boots on. You do what it takes to be an American. You represent this country. You do the right thing. You don't lie, steal, cheat, tolerate others who do. And yes, that's said at West Point and all of these other academies, I'm telling you, but it should be said every day in America. Every American should do that. Do you think for 1 minute that we should just sit back and allow less than 1% of the population to run your butts in the ground? Come on, we're Americans. You should be just as angry and as upset today as you was on the 12th of September 2001. Because if you don't think your country's been under attack, it's been under attack, baby. And you should start flying your flag. You know, proud of who you are. The politicians hate you. I can give you an example of a politician, several politicians. Mitch McConnell is one. He is a fossil. He is an antique. It is time for him to be retired. Send him home. His wife and him both have made millions and millions of dollars off of your backs. Kentucky, you got to do a better job. How in the world do you keep electing this guy? Okay? Send him home. Yes, he's a Republican. Yes, yes, we're conservative people. But let me tell you, if you don't clean the whole house and you just clean part of the house, then you still got dead rats laying somewhere in the corner that's going to stink it up. You got to get rid of them all. We have got to get back to a form of decency and civility and pride in being an American. There's nothing wrong with masculinity. There's nothing wrong with femininity. Okay? But there is something wrong, and I'm just going to tell you this. There is something wrong, very wrong, when you see the pushing of surgery on children to change their sex at as early as 11 years old. There's something very wrong with that. It's a mental illness. Now, I can't blame the kids, but I can blame the adults that are allowing that stuff to happen. We have so much garbage. This has become a godless society. And you have based all of your faith on the golden calf. And that's what you will look at. And as long as you do that, then don't be surprised that every morning you wake up, it gets a little worse every day. And then before you know it, people will be coming to your house. They'll flop around in your yard. They'll sleep in your bed. They'll sleep with your daughters. They'll sleep with your wife. And you'll be forced to watch it. They'll sleep with your husband. They would defile everything good and righteous as long as you let them. So you have to stop the nonsense. So let's take a look at some things here, folks. I want to get into these songs because I think that these songs are very, very important. Rich Man North of Richmond. Let's see, and I hope you all can hear this, so I'll apologize if you can't. Rich, you know, guys, send me a message if it's coming in chat staggered. Hold on a second, guys. Hold on.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours, bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and wait my life. Back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. People like me, people like you, wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new world. With an old soul. The rich man knows, the rich man, Lord knows. Just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think. Wanna know what you do. And they don't think you know. But I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit. And it's taxing no end. Cause a rich man knows.
not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast, milk and welfare. God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay, for your bags of blood drowned. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, for people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men know the rich men, Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, because your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end, cause the rich men know the rich men. Selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.
And there you go. And there you go. That is Rich Men North of Richmond. I got Rich Kilblaine, and I've got Father Michael Pacella. And I'm just going to say, guys, I know some people are offended by the cursing and stuff, and they're hard words. They're very hard words.
Oh, bullshit. Bullshit.
Well, bullshit. We got
you good, because I'm probably going
here,
to be.
Man.
All right. Look, I want to tell you something. All right. So my mother, a devout Pentecostal, she had sat there and listened to me, us talking, and she really enjoyed Father Michael, okay? But she would say, Rich, you got to quit the cursing. I've cut back. I have seriously cut back. But I'm going to tell you right now, tonight, it may be different. The lyrics of this song resonate.
Well, let's break it down. So we talk about the first part of the song, and we're going to go into all of it. I'm selling my soul, working all day, you know, and basically talking about
for bullshit overtime for bullshit pay. And the thing is, you got to understand. All right, so this what we're talking about is. Let's set the context for this song, okay? So this guy who went by
let me say this real quick, Rich. This song was sang, performed, and has been shared, and his name is Oliver Anthony, folks. Oliver Anthony from Virginia. So we've got to give credit to him.
Right, but that's not his real name. That's not his real name. It turns out it's his grandfather's name. It's his grandfather's name. Oh, yeah. Okay, because his real name, I forgot his last name, is Christopher Anthony something, okay? And it was his grandfather that was Oliver Anthony. So he sang under his name. Now, he has been producing these YouTube videos that have like maybe a few hundred at best views. And he's been filming. Hey, does this sound familiar, James? He's been filming them with his cell phone. Huh. Is there someone else we know who's been out there filming YouTube videos with their cell phone? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Is there someone? Yeah.
You.
Like digging history? Okay. Okay. So anyway, so, and here's a guy. Wait. So James is from West Virginia. And Patel and I are from Virginia. Now, the thing is, Patel and I are not originally from Virginia. I'm originally from Oklahoma, but I was in the Army and I traveled so much. I'm going to tell you right now, I've lived in Virginia for almost 23 years, and this is the longest I've lived in any state. But, you know, my values were shaped by Oklahoma and Virginia's values. I would say that Oklahoma values are shaped more by Virginia values. So when I moved out here, the courtesy and, oh my, it's like I fit in to the door before someone else. You open it and hold it for them. You call every man sir. You call every woman ma'am. Okay, it's the politeness of this, that of living in the South, especially Virginia. Okay, so this guy, his real name is Christopher Chris. He's from Appalachia, Virginia. Okay, and he'd been making these songs, these folk songs. He's, you know, you can call it country music. No, it's folk songs, because I you know, if you want to compare him to any country music star, there's no comparisons, because these guys are all commercialized. You want to compare him to someone, you need to compare him to folk singers like Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger during the Depression, and Joan Baez during the 60s. Okay? And especially when we find out when he's been offered like million-dollar record deals, okay, and he's turned them down, okay? So that's at the stage. You know, the guys from western part of Virginia, and that opening line, like, overtime hours for bullshit pay. He was, you know, he lived in Virginia. He was driving to western North Carolina. He was working 12-hour shifts, third shift. Anybody understand that? That's the night shift. You know, everybody else is working day. Look, my stepdad worked in what we called hoodows. They rotated it when he worked at Conoco. Sure. When he went on hoodows, that's the night shift. We had all the windows papered up because he would work all night and he had to sleep day. We were walking on eggshells because we could not wake him up. If we made any noise to wake his ass up, oh, he was so pissed at us, okay?
Yeah.
He was a good stepfather. He's a good stepfather. But, oh, when he was working the night shift, we were walking on eggshells. So when
go ahead.
Yeah.
Can I just put a little framework to what Rich was saying? Because I mentioned earlier about class warfare, but I want us to think about this statement. The rescinding and diminishing of the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really think that the real issue, among other outstanding things, you mentioned Joan Baez, and of course we remember from the 60s, really is class warfare. And if we would just wake up to the fact that there are the haves and the have-nots, so to speak, for various reasons. But I really think that strikes a chord, because growing up in the projects, blacks, Puerto Ricans, Jews, you know, Italians, whites, you know, we were all poor, okay? It was built for veterans, but then they let all the rest of the poor in. So, you know, but then the diminishing middle class is really what's taken place because the government's taken so much from us.
No,
right.
It isn't the diminishing middle class. What I shared with you guys is And I told you, I said, go listen to the Black shared with you today. And see, so I'm listening to Black liberals. I'm listening to Black females. I'm listening to guys who advocate that I've never listened to country music before, and they're listening to this song. And you watch them listen to this song for the first time, and you watch their facial expressions. That opening line.
Well, what it shows.
Hours for bullshit pay. You can see them cringe because they identify with it. And I'm telling you, everybody, when he says minors, you know, the politicians care more about minors on a offshore island. That's when they cringe because they know exactly what he
was
referring to.
Subtle.
Like all the reviews I've watched of it, when he says that, they know exactly what he's talking about. They cringe.
So everybody knows it. So that's what I want to say. So I want to break it down because we've got a couple other songs I want to listen to, and we're going to break them down. So we looked at that. Okay, so obviously there's an issue with pay. There is no middle class. I will debate anybody on that. The middle class.
No, James. No, there is a middle class.
Who is it?
Biden Economics has hurt us.
Yeah, there is no
our
middle
money.
Class.
That's what he's talking about.
That's
and,
what
and
I'm
when
saying.
And we listen to all these people, these people who are on their YouTubers, who are commentators up there. They're pointing out.
Let me finish. Biden doesn't understand.
He's getting up there and telling you how your life is better, and everybody's going, it's not. I can't buy as much as I used to buy.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
The middle class exists, but our spending capital is less than it used to be.
Let me frame it up here. So we have no middle class. That's my argument. We have no middle class. We have no middle class because of exactly what you said, is because there is no – and I'll tell you why. Because I live in an area that was predominantly middle class America, and, you know, and I make a significant amount of money around here. I mean, as far as money goes, I do – you know, I'm at a six-figure income. No problem whatsoever. But you know what? I still struggle. I had to put a new roof on my house, and it wasn't like I could just go to the bank and whip it out because everything else has went up. Everything else has went up. So it's like, really, if you don't – you know where the middle class is at? $150,000 a year plus. That's where your middle class is at. And I don't know anybody in this neighborhood that I live in anyways that makes $150,000 or more a month or a year. I'm sorry, I said a month, but a year. So it's $150,000 plus to in order to even make it to middle class now. And I see people struggling that I never saw struggle before. I see more signs on their houses that they're getting ready to shut their water off. You know, they all hang these little red signs out. Used to be you'd see one or two. I see one every other house almost now. And that is a very scary thing for a lot of people. But I say it goes all the way back before Joe Biden. Joe Biden is put it on hyperspeed as far as what's going on. So this song in the first part, because the other part are really great too. And I was going to say about the miners, actually the physical miners that mine your coal, you know, the miners as far as miners in school as well. So there's several different terms we can use on here, but the miners on an island, you're right. That was 100% pointing to this society, this group of people that have elevated themselves into politics. And I'm telling you, I have people that I thought were very good people that got elected and sold out. The Republicans, a shitload of Republicans too did it. I'm just telling you right now, a lot of them.
Damn right.
What they've done is so they've got in there, and because in the men and the women, you know, they get in there. Look, they know your weakness before they elect you. you're either a glutton, a whoremonger, you love money, but there is one of the seven deadly sins that's wrapped around your neck. And when you get elected, all of those little weasels that really pull the strings in Washington, D.C., they find it. They get the pictures, they get the evidence, and they come to you. And you watch these guys change overnight. And it's because they have no integrity. And when he talks about the rich men north of Richmond, he should have said rich men and rich women, because we can't leave Hillary Clinton and the rest of these clowns out of this, because they are, I would say, in some cases, worse than the rich men, because these are some wicked, evil people, and they have allowed our children to be attacked in our schools. You know, let me tell you, if it would have been a Second Amendment guy that kicked in the door at that school and shot those kids, they would have raised hell about that all across the country, asked for gun control. Well, they still ask for gun control, but they would have criminalized anybody that was a member of any Second Amendment organization. But because it was a transgender, someone that did not know what their sex was, someone with an obvious mental illness, they buried it. They covered it up. When was the last time you heard about it? I'll let you guys have it. When was the last time you heard about it?
No, it's being concealed. And I think there's also a Christian bias as well. But certainly you can tell so obviously, even though some of it is so insidious, you can tell it's blatantly injustice.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get into
But I'm going to tell you guys, that was not the theme of the song. All right. So for our listeners out there, so if you type in on YouTube, Richmond north of Richmond, mm-hmm. and I didn't even have to type in black, and all of a sudden, I'm overwhelmed by the number of black responses to this video, okay?
And I'm glad. Go ahead.
All right. And the thing about it is, okay, so this is a battle cry. I'm telling you right now, this is a battle cry.
No, it's a great battle cry.
Yes, and it's probably more of a unifying song than any song that's been out there. Okay,
now
because recently we had tried this in a small town. Tried this in a small town. The thing is, theme of that song is it's based on the summer of love and the burning of the Main Street and stuff like that, and the BLM movement, and when they actually tried to move into rural America, and they were faced by guys with guns. Okay.
Yeah.
That song is based on division. That song is based on division. And we are in a civil war. We are a civil war between the urban elite and rural America. All right, the urban elite, which is a small, when you look at geographically, represents a small part of the nation, where rural America is the vast majority of it, but the less populated. So rural America is saying, hey, we have the population density. We should be telling you what to do. And we have and here's the thing. The Democratic Party has morphed from the party of the minorities to a party of the urban elite. That's what it is. Do your research, guys. The Democratic Party is no longer the party of the minorities. It's the party of the urban elite. But when you join the Democratic Party, they divide you into categories. What category do you fit into?
Yeah.
If you join, all right, and I say this, but both parties are messed up. So you join the Republican Party, they're like, hey, you're part of us. We don't care what your sexual, whatever preference you have. We don't care. It's about keeping your money and keeping government out of your business. Now, The thing is,
a little more libertarian philosophy as far as
you're right. Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the, let's talk a little bit about Oliver Anthony, which is his stage name, two videos. When he says that he was working overtime hours for bullshit pay, the guy was working a 12-hour shift, the third shift, okay, and he had to drive like an hour to work, okay? He bought some country land out in Virginia, the western part of Virginia. He lived in a camper. He lived in a camper.
Sure.
Okay. This guy is as homegrown as you could possibly get. Okay. And he's a musician. He's creative. I'm what we would call a prolific writer. A friend of mine who is also a prolific writer and hasn't been as successful is we have diarrhea of the pen, where we have all these stories that flow out of us. We have to write them down. And that's what this guy is. His real name is Christopher, okay? You can call him Chris or you can call him Oliver. He doesn't care, okay? He's only produced, as far as I know, two videos. One is when this radio station decided to film him live, and then at the immediate reaction after that. Okay. And he has avoided. Keep in mind that after, look, it was 8 August, right, that I think it was Radio WV, which I assume is
West Virginia. Yeah.
All right. Said, hey, we want to film you. Do you have a good song? Now, he's already produced a couple songs. Now, keep in mind, Rich Ben, and he goes, yes, I do. You talk about timing, okay? This is the right time for that song to come out.
Absolutely. And there's
he also had another video. Right, and he jokes about it. He said, this is the first time, it was a professional video, but it's the first time he actually sang in front of a microphone. All the other videos, he was singing into a cell phone. Sounds like somebody I know, James.
Yeah.
Bill Corby. Okay, all right. And as Beth Garrigal says, is, you know, you need to tip your cell phone horizontal, not vertical, okay?
Which I've been doing.
Anyway. Yeah, I know. So this guy's first really professional video is Richmond, north of Richmond, and followed up with Virginia, which I love. I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go into some of the terms. So he brought out a lot of things that people are thinking, but they don't want to say it. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are afraid to say it because they're afraid of being canceled, losing their jobs. People are losing their jobs for Facebook posts. Okay, that happens.
Right.
And people love to get you fired. I mean, we are in such a wicked society right now, and the people that want to get you fired, they don't work anyways. They are the obese milking welfare. And I'm going to tell you.
No, wrong. I'm going to challenge you on that, James. It's not that they work. They show up to work. They don't produce.
That's
because
what I mean. They don't work.
I personally know of examples of that.
Yeah.
Anyone who is going to challenge you to get fired is probably someone who is non-producing. So if you see, this is one of the things I want to talk about as we go on to this, and probably the second hour, is when the three of us grew up and went to school, we were taught that the history of America was a history of opportunity, and anybody, regardless of their birth, could become the president of the United States. Do you all you've got remember that? All of it. That was it.
Well,
we were all
and that's why I want to give. I want to break this thing down. So because this is what this is not. So there's a lot of great. And I've read and seen and watched a lot of the people talking about this song, but they're not really breaking down this part of it. So when he talked about, you know, so the people that are afraid to say anything, they are really happy this song has come out. Now, obviously, politicians are not going to say much about it, especially the politicians that represent everything that's in this song. But that thing about the obese milking welfare. Now, let me tell you, if you go look at any welfare program, they use the word nutrition. This is a nutrition program, a nutrition program that allows people to use taxpayer money to buy pop, junk food, fudge rounds, bags of fudge rounds that he talked about. And it doesn't really produce what I would say a nutritious lifestyle. So it's like this. Here's the way that I look at this. It would be like giving you a card to buy medicine and you are a heroin addict. And you go into the store and on the left, you see the medicine that you need for your diabetes. But right next to it is a cheaper medicine that you can buy and shoot up like heroin. Now, which one do you think that those people are going to buy? It's the same thing with junk food. It's the same thing with this. And what he's saying is that it's not so much calling out the obese people. I think that there's a level of mercy in his words for those folks because it's followed by people being buried in the ground, and they're being buried because of several reasons: suicide, drug abuse.
No. When he referred to after he said the obesity, and he said people being buried in the ground, they were being buried in the ground because they're working their asses off.
Not all of them.
I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm 68 years old. I'm a martial arts instructor. Obesity is a choice. No, overweight may not be a choice, but obesity is a choice.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm getting to, Rich.
If you're fucking fat, let me tell you. If you're fucking fat because you chose to be that.
No, come on, you're missing
you
it.
You do not like
you're missing it, Rich.
Your pain.
You're missing it because they are from a third and fourth generation of welfare. In most cases, and their grandfathers, they see them eating fudge rounds and saying, "Hey, boy, this is good for you."
Yeah.
Okay,
you
so
know,
this is what I'm saying.
I stand corrected, James. I stand corrected.
I don't know anybody that is a decent American, anyways, that would object to feeding the hungry. But I do think that when we talk about the word nutrition, why? It's just like with the VA. The VA program writes people a check every month, and then they forget about them. They shove you off into rural America. They give you $3,000 a month, and then you're allowed to live anyway, do anything. And they hope that you live a lifestyle that you will die at a young age because then they don't have to pay you anymore. And I always have said this, that we would be so much better off if we are going to really address hunger and really address the obesity issue and the veterans issues if these programs started off with something like real nutrition education programs and fitness. Our veterans, people that are on welfare would do so much better, and I would be willing to allow my tax dollars to pay for them to go to a gym 3 days a week. And every time you go to the store, you cannot buy anything in a box unless it's flour or sugar or something that you can cook with. But focus on the nutrition of these people, and then we won't have people that are obese, because it is costing us a lot of money because these people are becoming hospitalized. What's the one thing you hear about? what diabetes medicine is so why do we have so many people on diabetes medicine? Why is that? And I'll leave that. The nutrition part. So that's the nutrition part of that that I see. And it kind of irks me because it's like there's no effort to stop these people from going to the store. And it's like, we've all seen it, you know, the 300-pound, you know, person that walks in and they use an EBT SNAP card.
No, James, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a people watcher, okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking at young people who are overweight.
Yeah.
I mean, I look around, and I rarely look. When I grew up in high school, and then went into the Army, and I'm going like, what kind of woman is going to arouse me? I look around now, and they don't exist. They are rare because I'm looking at young women who are all overweight. That is the new standard.
It is.
That's the new standard. And I sat there and I'm going like, but I got to tell you, here's my counter.
Twiggy
ruined physical health. Okay. Because when Twiggy come out as a model in this, I think the late 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. anyway, all of a sudden, all the models had to be skinny. And I'm like, no. And I looked at him like, you don't look healthy. A woman needs meat on her bones. She needs muscle, okay?
Right.
And she can have some fat as long as the curves are perfect. And the thing was, you know, we looked at the 50s. Marilyn Monroe was like the perfect model of a woman, but in the 50s and early 70s, because of Twiggy, no, Marilyn Monroe would have looked overweight because every mom had to be skinny, and I objected to that. And I'm going to tell you right now. So when I watch commercials now and you see what we consider overweight women with curves, with shape to them, I'm like, that's good. There is, you know, and the thing is, it's the dimensions. It's not how slim you are. It's the dimensions of that. You don't need to be round, but you have to have that hourglass figure, okay? That is the perfect body, all right? And I'm glad for that. But the thing is, all of a sudden, we're embracing obesity. And obesity is unhealthy. You want to look when my stepsisters have asked me about exercise,
mm-hmm.
and my advice to them is find what you enjoy and make it a habit. That's exercise.
Yeah, that'll be tight.
It's motion. It's physical motion. Because if you sit there and you're going like, you listen to like, if I do this, that form of exercise, I do that. If it doesn't appeal to you, you won't stay to it. Mm-hmm. All right.
But if you find
what you like, and for my daughter, she found running. She found running, whether a treadmill or in the park. She found running.
Mm-hmm.
Motion keeps us healthy, keeps us
slim. And that's the thing, Rich, that I really believe this. And you know, and there was this there was a cartoon, I can't remember, but it was about the robots, and they did everything for people. And the robots just sit around. The people would sit around, and they got fatter and fatter and fatter, and they couldn't move. And then the robots took over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a control thing.
It's possible. That's the whole thing. Let me tell you. One of the – all right. This show has been seriously influenced by the success, the rapid success of – Oliver Anthony's show. But we had a couple other topics we wanted to talk about. One is, you know, like being overworked, and another one is the future. Now, I'll tell you.
You're going to love the next song, Rich. that you haven't heard.
Yeah. Okay. So one, here's the thing, guys. We're talking. Here's the thing. All right. The theme of this song, "Rich Men North of Richmond." We are divided. We are a divided nation. We hate each other. We hate each other. It is BLM against the conservatives. It's this group against that group. It's this group. Guess who is promoting that? We are.
Oh, it's the rich
we're
men.
We're not.
Rich men and women north of Richmond.
That's right. Richmond, north of Richmond is politician. Now, you said men, but look.
Yeah.
It just rings. Richmond, rich man, north of Richmond. We don't pronounce the D, Richmond. We say Richmond. So when he says rich man, north of Richmond, there's no D in it, okay? And what he's referring to is the politicians in D.C. fighting us. And if you go and you, for the listeners out there, you go and you type in that song, I mean, you don't even have to say black response. You're already going to get it. You're going to get it. It's going to pop up. Oh, my God. Yes. And all of and you watch their facial expressions when they hear the lyrics of it.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I want
to song to everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that's why I want to drop this now to Father Michael, because what I believe is we are seeing a spiritual transformation that is bringing together people of all races. And this song and what it is doing.
It could be. I'm not saying it is. It could be. This is the first song that unifies everybody. If you watch the black response to this song, because what's the mainstream media telling you?
Yeah, that's what I want to get to.
That's right, the white supremacists.
I want to get to that.
You know, they're all embracing this song. This is a white supremacist song.
Well, that's why I want to get it from Father Michael's perspective, because I believe we're seeing something here that is transformational.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Father Michael, please take over this and tell us what you think.
I would be curious, and I listened to a number of commentary on it, and thank you, Rich, for sending what you did. What really resonated with most people? You know, we wanted to analyze the lyrics, which would have been good and probably would have had different interpretations, even from the three of us. Okay, because when there was something alluded to, I picked up on Epstein and I picked up on the mutilation that's going on with the children. He may or may have not meant that in his particular context. But I think you say, you know, transformational. It's prophetic, because I think that the government has become so deaf and so overrun by the extreme left that they can't hear. And if you know Flannery O'Connor or people who write in such a dramatic way, it has to almost be in your face so you're shocked into listening. And I would really be curious what really resonated. Probably not the music. It was nice to see that steel guitar or whatever it was. But there was a prophetic, or like you said earlier, something revealed people's hearts that they're reticent to say. And it was refreshing in that regard. Now, to some, it might be crude, and there were those who, you know, felt offended because of the whole obesity nuance. But I appreciate what Rich said, because that's become now acceptable. And you're telling people it's okay, and really you're lying to them, and they're going to go to their grave sooner than they should. But I just wonder, what's resonating to what people? And as Rich said, it's going to unify us, but what? What in particular? So I think it would have been helpful if we would have looked more specifically at the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so what do you pop out?
Let me explain this. He starts out and he finishes with the same lyrics. working overtime pay.
Yes,
for
selling myself.
Pay.
Selling myself.
Yeah. But it was working over when you look at the black community's response to the song, when he says, see them cringe and feel, you know, that's what unites us. All of us mm-hmm. suffer that. We're not
so, so it is a class thing then, Rich. It is a class warfare. It's realizing we've been exploited.
No, all right. Wait.
Slow down. Exploited by
the
elite.
Defend class war. All right. Explain class warfare. Up or down, or left or right. See, right now, when you say class warfare, we're thinking left or right. Are you thinking left or right or up or down?
No, not at all. No,
right.
We're being
Explain
pitted
it.
Against each other, but we're in the same
That's
boat.
Right. That's right.
Like I said,
That's
when
right.
I was in the projects, you know, we were all in the same boat, and not a whole lot of us saw a way out. And it was
right.
because of some injustice, because when we were kids, what was the minimum wage? $1.25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, there were a lot of other ways. We went into the military. We went to college or whatever. You know, God helped us. But
all right.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about this conflict between the Irish and the Catholics. Why
the
was
Italian.
That conflict between the Irish and Catholics when they were the Irish and the Italians?
Yeah,
because they were the minorities. They were looked down upon.
But they were willing the Italians to work for less than the Irish, and that's where there became a problem. Because
right,
they kind
that's
of
right.
blocked
that's
them out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're stealing our jobs. Mm-hmm. You are stealing our jobs.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. That's why the Irish weren't prejudiced. They didn't hate blacks. They didn't like blacks because they would work less than they would. And then comes the damn Italians. Okay.
Well,
you're stealing our jobs. So how did that work out?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
I'd like to hear. So, Father Michael, you had to pick out a few words in that song. What resonated with you as a priest and as a man of faith?
The frustration expressed because of the indifference of leadership and the politicians. That's what really came across to me, and it resonated with me. Because I know it's true.
Yeah,
I'm good.
When I said
when you listen to all the other reviews, they react the same exact way that you just explained.
What were you going to?
I appreciated Rich and James's input, but I still say there's a diminishing and a rescinding of middle class due to those burdens of taxation. And just the manipulation of people. And, you know, people used to be able to live, okay, and I didn't grow up middle class, but to have a nice house, you know, to have one or two cars and to, you know, go on vacation. That class of people now is diminishing. It's rescinding, and it's because of how we're being taxed and the way the economy is being mismanaged, in my estimation.
I'm sure you all can appreciate that. I'm glad you brought.
Hold it.
No, hold on. I'm out. Hold it. The vacation. When you talked about vacations, we all grew up in a time when I was a kid. We only took one vacation from the age of earliest memory to even after graduation. I remember 1 3-day vacation that we took to the beach.
Never had any.
Yeah, and you know, all the kids that had the money, they took a vacation every summer. Those are the rich kids, man. I'm glad you brought that up. I had totally forgot about that. But we were the middle class. We couldn't take a vacation, but our vacation was down at the creek. You know what I mean? Or you know, going up into the woods and hunting, or going to the mountains and deer hunting every year. Right, Rich?
Oh, my God.
What I mean? You remember those days?
No. My mother like when my mother came out to visit me here in Virginia, and we took her to Jamestown and Yorktown, she said, this is the first time I've ever been on a vacation that was not
wow.
on the bank of a river or a lake. Because that's, when she said that, that's what I remember. Because now, that's because my stepfather was an avid fisherman. So when he got a week off, we were camping out on a lake or river fishing, okay? Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was vacation, but it was also a way to fill the freezer. So, and you know, I mean, but you know what you learn? You learn to appreciate the small things. But we never went hungry. We never had to go on welfare, okay? That was really a good thing. Now, as a young child, I will tell you, when my mother and father first divorced, we did have food stamps, and it was a terrible thing for my mother to have to use those. You know, you remember those food stamps that had the paper food stamp, and it wasn't a lot of money, but it was restricted.
Hey, James,
all right,
yeah. just for the show. Is there, all right, for Father Michael and me, is there any one of us who did not live on government assistance? I don't remember what the term was called, but what I remember is we drew those
really?
Big blocks
hard.
Of cheese. The cheese. It was these big blocks of cheese. Like, there was this government issue food. I can't remember the term for it, if you guys could help me with it.
Yeah.
But what
well,
I definitely
at least
remember
the Second World War,
big block of cheddar cheese.
Yeah. What'd you say, Father Mike?
In the World War II era, it was called relief. You know, my dad was
no,
100%
no, no.
disabled
but
vet.
In the,
so we lived
in the 50s and the
that.
60s, no, it was something else. And
yeah,
and,
he's explaining
because,
that. What was that? Hold on a second. Rich. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Father Mike. What would you say?
So I said, because my dad was 100% disabled vet, we were still dependent, you know, on the government help because of his disability.
Right.
But, you know, there were a lot of other lacks, and sometimes the families who were more well off were a little bit indifferent. And, you know, we went hungry. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of it was because of my father's alcohol abuse
right.
and things of that nature. But I guess you resonate when it seems like, okay, we know God blesses and opens opportunities, but it seems like you're working so hard and you're getting nowhere. And you know there's so much corruption about you that it's got to be exposed. The Bible tells us to
no,
talk about the deeds of darkness and expose them.
That's where we are now. But when he made a reference to when we were growing up, no.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, my family accepted the fact that we were in poverty because of life choices. My mother and my father didn't get along. They hated each other, literally hated each other. They divorced. So we were below the poverty line, and if you're below the poverty line, qualify if you have kids for all these subsidies. And the one the one that stands out the most was this block of cheddar cheese. I don't know why. I don't remember what else there was, but it was this block of cheddar cheese because we never finished it off. I don't know. The other stuff they gave us, we probably ate real fast, but that block of cheddar cheese, and
wow.
it had written on it something that told us that we were, or when they went to food stamps, and they're going like, we're not going to issue food stamps, we're going to issue dollars because it's too humiliating to give you food stamps, because if you're going to the grocery store and you buy. So we went from what I grew up with, whereas you went in there and the government issued you rations. The government literally issued you government rations. And then they went to, all right, so the government's going to, you can go into the grocery store and buy the same rations, You can only buy these rations, all right? But it's food stamps. Embarrassing. So then they went, the government went and said, okay, so we're not going to issue you food stamps because it's too embarrassing for you. So we're just going to issue the money, and then you can buy whatever you want. And that's where that song, someone 5'3", obese, and buying bags of chocolate chips or whatever it is. That's where it came from. It evolved to that, okay, because of embarrassment. Because if you could not afford, if you were below the poverty level, the government was going to help you out. But they were only going to provide you what you needed. But because, you know, it was first the issue of rations, that was embarrassing. And then they said, we'll give you food stamps. By that time, I grew up, we were not on food stamps. My mother had married a guy who had a good job. So when you get to food stamps, well, that's embarrassing. So now we're going to issue an money, you can buy whatever you want. So now you're fucking obese. That's where that line in the song comes from. You're obese. Yeah. And you're obese. That's a life choice. No, I'm going to tell you right now, well, if you're obese, that's a life choice. Yeah, that's not a health issue.
But Rich, a lot of them, in all fairness, they grew up in a home full of, I see the kids walking around here. And they're that way, and the parents are that way, and they're teaching them a lifestyle that it's okay to eat a whole fudge round. And you know what? It is – that's the problem. And the problem is, here's what we need to do. If you really want to fix that issue, you come back and you say, okay, no more processed foods. You have to buy whole foods with this EBT SNAP card. So you can buy bottled water. You can buy – you know, Kool-Aid mix, you can make your own stuff, but no more of these fudge rounds, chips, and freaking cases of pop. Literally, I mean, it's every time.
Right now.
James, I'm telling you, it's
James,
crazy.
The three of us are in agreement in that. The problem is we're not liberals. The liberals is about life choices. You choose to be obese, that's your life choice.
Yeah, but
and
they're
if
killing
you
people.
Criticize that, that's called body shaming. Body shaming.
Racist.
Yeah.
Big,
no, not
whatever.
The fact.
Yeah.
Not the fact that obesity right now probably counts for the greatest percentage of health issues in the medical field.
It's written. It's definitely been studied. You're right. And it is. And let me tell you, those unhealthy food choices are also a leading cause to cancers. So it's like I'm telling you, you change your whole, you know, I don't want to dig in this because we've went over an hour and I want to play this other song. So I want you all to listen to this second song. Now, this isn't a country song, okay? It is a rap song. And one of the guys that's singing in this group, now they're both heavily tattooed up. And I think one, if not both of them are, you know, have been to prison and they've got out, but they've changed and turned their lives around. Some of the language is a little hard, but it's just like the other song. It's just saying things in a different way, but it's appealing. And I'm telling you, turn this thing out, Rich, like 3 days ago, 1.6 million views on their YouTube. So wait till you hear this. Hold on. Let me grab it here, okay? So I thank you all a lot.
Give the name.
Okay, hold on 1 second here. Let me get it all pulled up here. Okay. All right. Yeah, I knew this was going to do this to me here. Okay, hold on a second, guys. Okay, this is Tom McDonald and Adam Calhoun, and it's called Your America. So it's Adam Calhoun and Tom McDonald, and it's called Your America. So let me get it pulled up and let you listen to it. I'll tell you. Yeah, it's the devil working against us right now. It's crazy, but it's true. So, and anyway, so these two guys, if you look it up, it's Tom MacDonald, that's MacDonald, and Adam Calhoun, and it's called Your America, and I'm trying to get it to pull up right now. And of course, you know, give me a second here, guys. Oh, this is aggravating. I had it there. Rich, I'm going to blame this on you.
Go ahead. I'll take all the blame.
I talked to a guy.
I already know I'm racist. All right. I already know I'm racist because I've won so many debates with liberals. And here it comes, guys. Go ahead.
Here it goes. Okay, here it goes. The first thing he says, if you don't feel safe, stop defunding the police then. It's a rap song, guys, so you got to follow it. And so I'm going to – here it goes.
They're screaming that they hate America and we're the reason. If you don't feel safe, then stop defunding the policemen. You calling us extremists because our words have hurt your feelings and we're sorry we can't hear you over the sound of our freedom. Y'all been filling up our classrooms with drag queens for kids. We think it's not appropriate, you tell us that it is. The complexities of gender and children won't ever mix when there's school shootings by women whose pronouns are him, his. I'm not Republican, but keep it 100, they make sense. The most destructive ideologies are coming from the left. I think Black Lives Matter, they think White Lives Matter less. And LGBTQ turned into WTF. Dear Democrats, I don't have nothing against the liberal, but the people representing you are communists and criminals. They've been starting World War III. We're shipping missiles still. They don't want America great. They want it miserable.
You can try to burn down the city, scream at the top of your lungs till you're dizzy. You can cancel everything and everybody in it, but it's not your America. You can burn the flag in aggressive. You can wear a mask and pretend you're progressive. I got my First Amendment, don't forget I got the second. It's not your America.
I'm hearing words I never heard in life. Kids go to school to learn, never make it back home. They get murdered like, who's concerned? Not the left or the right. Who's ready for the fight? Coming to your front door tonight. The former president got arrested. The current one lost, but I guess he got elected. Kids get molested. Pedophiles all get protected. And you can kill a baby anytime if you're pregnant. People so weak, feel free to take a knee. And you can't even speak, God forbid you disagree. I don't even know what virtual signaling means. Young men used to fight wars, now they make memes. Divide us up, I'm pretty sure that's the plan. Got a gun in my hand for when shit hits the fan. And how the woman of the year is a man. I'm pretty sure I never really understand.
You can try to burn down the city, scream at the top of your lungs till you're dizzy. You can cancel everything and everybody in it, but it's not your America. You can burn the flag in aggressive. You can wear a mask and pretend you're progressive. I got my First Amendment, don't forget I got the second. It's not your America.
We're the ones to blame. You're the ones who riot till the city's up in flames.
You told us
we can spread the lies, but you believe the truth is on the news every night.
You told us
we gotta stop the fighting, but you're the ones who keep the country angry and divided.
You told us
we're crazier than you, but all of our conspiracy theories are coming true.
You can try to burn down the city, scream at the top of your lungs till you're dizzy. You can cancel everything and everybody in it, but it's not your America. You can burn the flag in aggressive. You can wear a mask and pretend you're progressive. I got my First Amendment, don't forget I got the second. It's not your America.
What do you think, guys?
Well, all right, I'm going to tell you. The difference between rap and what Oliver Anthony is saying is Oliver Anthony saying it slow enough you could understand what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Rap is really fast. okay, you got to really have a good ear for it. They're essentially saying the same thing.
Do you know the crowd that this is reaching? Is that Generation X.
Right.
But, you know, it's very obvious, James, too, excuse me, that people are so fed up. And all the craziness, there's a momentum. And people are now speaking out. We don't think that philosophies have great influences or consequences. Poetry is powerful. And I just really
Father Michael, let me challenge you on this. Let me challenge you on this. Because
Let me finish first. Let me finish first. Okay? We can look historically, especially those who grew up in the 50s and 60s, at the power of lyrics and the power of poetry and the consequences of ideas and the influence. And it's an overflow of what's in the soul of America right now. Everybody is feeling these things.
No, that's because you and I grew up. You were born in, 1954? I was born in 1955. And here's the thing, you know, and I wrote to you guys, and I said, see, my son really appreciates the old rock and roll. To really understand, to really appreciate rock and roll, you have to understand the time frame that was written, okay? And you and I lived that. All these songs that people listen to and appreciate, you and I listened to those songs during the time frame that they came out. All right? So now we're listening to a young artist who is – now, when you talk about folk songs, you know, when we talk about folk songs – songs that come out of the people, express problems of the people. Seeger, Woody Guthrie, and the thing was, Woody Guthrie had Huntington's disease, so he's going to die young. Pete Seeger is the, so when we look at the Depression era of America, it was Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie, but everybody admits that Woody Guthrie was the greatest of the folk singers, okay? And he will influence Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, okay? And in the 60s, we had this great plethora of folk singers, okay? Now we are experiencing something new with Oliver Anthony. So for anyone out there who is looking at the fact that you can appreciate music, but you got to understand, to really appreciate that music, you've got to understand the context about when that music came about. So when I can sit there and I pick up music from the 60s and I listen to it, I am back there. I am back there during that time. The Vietnam, for me, it's the Vietnam era, okay?
Yeah.
But for people out there listening to, if you go in and you type in Richmond, north of Richmond, this song, all right, here's what happened. So this guy who goes by the pseudonym of Oliver Anthony, which is his grandfather's name. His real name is Christopher Anthony something. I don't remember what the last name of it was. So the name he is singing by is to honor his grandfather. And so he's been producing all these songs on YouTube, cell phone, and finally he's attracted enough attention that a professional what we can say, a step up professional radio show. Radio WV. I can only assume it's Radio West Virginia. Okay? Says we would like producers. And he admits it. If you go online, his name is Oliver Anthony. You go online and you can see the video of him describing before they film that show. This is the first recorded video of a song of him in front of a camera. A camera.
Nope. I think we lost him there. Father Michael, are you still there?
I am okay. Here.
So let's...
I think it's important, like you brought out, that this type of rap song is reaching a different category of people. But the message is the same. And there are certain things that have been happening. People are bursting in anguish and in just frustration. And so they said some of the same things, that some of the same sentiments that he has. And I think you're absolutely right. You have to have all kinds of messengers to reach all kinds of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this song, there were some things that they said, you know, and it was quick, you know, and you're right. It's mm-hmm. You've got to have got to have an ear for it. But there were, you know, they talked about. Yeah, you could keep up. So what were some of the mm-hmm. things that you heard?
Well, about the police, about the flag,
yeah.
The things that are important to you and I as veterans and the drag queens. And,
yeah.
You know, just very practical, common sense things that people aren't connecting the dots with. And,
yeah.
And I think that's really a shame that they're letting all these things happen. You know, evil prevails when good men do nothing, and they're belling it out, you know, and showing the inconsistency and also the hypocrisy. You're talking about violence. You're talking about not feeling safe. And yet you want to defund the police. I mean, it's just logical stuff that the world's not connecting the dots. I don't know if you saw this thing in L.A., you know, where they're going in. And we've seen it so many times, and they're ransacking the whole thing. And, oh, finally the mayor says they're going to do something. Oh, really? You know, we're living in such a craziness and such a delusional. I don't know if you saw the woman who lost the weightlifting competition in Canada because of a transgender male. I mean, people are at a place, they're at a boiling point where, you know, these things have to be said in every which way that people see how illogical and how they're eroding and destroying our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. And I, you know, and I go through and I watch this every day. I see so much violence of people against each other, and especially in schools right now. All these kids with cell phones are videotaping all of this, you know, just thugs just jumping on one small child and just, you know, just beating them nearly to death. You know, I wonder, where are the real Americans at? Because there was a time, you know, and I'll just tell you, there was a time that if you did something, your parents would come on the bus and yank you off the bus and take a belt and whip your hind in front of everybody, you know, because you just didn't do that. Nowadays, I mean, they'll not just come and arrest your parents. They'll take your house. I mean,
sure.
I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And it's just like, you hate to think that we're at a point to where it's going to take a level of violence.
No, that's in liberal states. That's in states controlled by Democrats. Okay. In the rural states, the states controlled by conservatives.
Sometimes.
That shit isn't going continue. And I'm going to tell you, all right, when we talk about COVID, we had a Democrat as our governor. But Singh was, he was a medical doctor, primarily pediatrician. He understood the medical evidence of all the Democratic governors out there. All right, when you look up the definition, I challenge all of you, to look up the definition of fascism. We have an authoritarian government dictating economic and social reforms, whatever. When you look at COVID, it was the states controlled by Democrats that fit the definition of fascism more than the Republicans. Mm-hmm. But I still live in Virginia. And we had the Democratic governor who was a pediatrician, so he had a degree in the medical field. He actually understood the medical evidence, and he understood the difference between the crowded northern Virginia outside D.C. and the rest of Virginia, that he could apply two different rules to it. And because of him, yes, we shut down for a couple months, but he did not destroy the economy of the rest of Virginia, where it came to northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was all geographic. But the thing is, I will tell you right now, if you read the definition of dictator of a fascist government,
yeah,
the leftists really seem to fit that bill a lot more than the conservatives.
Yeah, so let's get into this song. So we're down to the last. Yeah. We're down to the 31 minute section. So this song appeals to a different listening audience, but as Father Michael was saying, it's saying the same thing, but it's saying it in a way that is, you know what I can see? I can see Oliver Anthony and these guys coming together to do some sort of a joint song. And if they did that, I think that it would probably be something really cool to see that happen.
They kept alluding to canceling, James, which I thought was interesting because people are so afraid of being rejected. They're so, you know, sensitive that somebody's not going to like them and they're not going to get 5,000 likes on something they said. And they addressed it that and confronted it head on. And I think people have to say, you hold up your hands, you put up your hands and say, you cancel me if you want. I'm going to do what I feel is right. And so I kept hearing that through the lyrics as well. And I think some people, what they don't realize too, that they're cutting their legs off, you know, and cutting their nose off despite their faces as far as any opportunities with jobs and stuff. But they're so afraid that people aren't going to like them. I told you, I've had students come up to me. I know you won't judge me, but my classmates, it's a shame. You can't be who you really are. And you know, if you don't care about pleasing anyone but God, you're a slave to everybody else's opinion. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a good reputation because you should have a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like everybody's going to vote for you. And it just seems like they compromise, you know, just because of the notoriety or because, you know, they're accepted by people or they're making big income. And there's some very good senators and congressmen and women. But I heard that a lot about, you know, this whole thing about cancel. So big deal, cancel. Who cares? Who cares about your opinion that much? I think we have to get to that place where we have more inner fortitude and not care so much what other people think.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a you're right. And they have made people weak. So if I turn on, I watch Twitter, you know, and I see a lot of things on Twitter. Twitter has groups that just post all of these leaked video, you know, attacks on, and I'll tell you, it's a lot of minorities attacking white people and Asians, and they keep playing it and keep playing it, and it's every day. But you know, I don't ever see the other side. You know what I mean? I don't, and I'm sure that it happens, but what is really frustrating about it is how many people stand around and watch somebody get nearly beat to death and they won't do anything. Or the ones, especially in schools, kids. Now, my kids have been told differently. My kids have been told to always, always fight back, always, because they're going to get
offended. All right, James, I will point this out. Point this out. Think to the song, Rich Men from Richmond, to do with race. And if you watch the reaction from the black community to this song, they react to it the same way the rest of us do.
Well, but yeah, but we're talking about the cancel culture.
The reality is it's about the politicians dividing us for their own benefit.
Yeah.
They want us to fear each other. They want us to fight each other and promise us, which something they've never been able to deliver, to promise us that they can lead us to victory. It's not – look, our founding fathers were geniuses. They realized our government would only work on compromise.
Mm-hmm.
We are now at a position where we won't compromise, and that is why our government is failing us.
So, yeah, and I get that on the first song. This is about the second song, and what Father Michael was saying about the common theme of being canceled, and then you see all this. So what I'm saying is people don't intervene anymore because they are afraid of being canceled, sued. You know, and it's more than just the popularity contest, but there are kids out there, Father Michael, what you were saying, there are kids out there that have serious mental anxiety type issues over exactly what you said, not getting enough likes on Facebook and not being able to be themselves.
No. They have anxiety issues because they have gender conflicts. Because they don't identify with their gender. Who's being wrong?
Yeah, not all of them, Rich. But what do you think, Father Michael?
Wait a minute, Rich. You're not going to argue with me. You're not going
to
argue
with
me.
But you didn't even give me a chance to say. Let me say what
I was
going to say.
I just want to put this out, and then I'm going to shut up and let you talk. All right. The thing is, if someone says they have some kind of anxiety issue, whatever, the LGBTQ community is going to say, because you identify as a gender different from your own, and you need to have surgery.
Yeah.
And the government needs to pay for it. All right. So now you guys can respond to it.
Go ahead, Father Michael. Yeah.
I think that there's not a whole lot of affirmation, approbation and acceptance in the home. And I think that a lot of insecure, and I work more with college kids and young people than both of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an underlying insecurity because of not being, so you're getting all your affirmation from your peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to do anything. I mean, I remember being in a fraternity. You know, you do things, even though in my fraternity back then you could say, I'm not going to do this because it violates my conscience. We don't even have such a concept anymore. But I really think people are slaves, you know, to other people liking them. They have no security in God's acceptance and forgiveness of their sins, in their own families, in themselves, liking themselves, but in their a family unit where you're affirmed. You know, my wife did not join the teachers union, and they blackballed her. And she said, I don't get my acceptance from you, from my husband, my church family, my family. And, you know, they put her through a real problem. This was many years ago. And but when you have to be accepted by everyone, you know, I have found that there aren't many independent thinkers. In my college classroom, they're all monolithic. They all think alike. They've all been brainwashed, or they're all compared their notes with each other. I've not very often seen an independent thinker. It's all groupthink. There's something wrong with that. That reminds me of, you know, Hitler and, Nazi Germany. You got to have some sense of the individual. We can't. There's such a thing even as collective, you know, demon power. But it's like they're all brainwashed or monolithic, and people are afraid to think for themselves. And so I think when you're in a position like that, oh, I can't, you know, let anyone think wrongly of me. And I can understand a young teenager, they go through insecurity, puberty, the way they look. I get that, especially young females. I had four daughters. I know a little bit what I'm talking about. But but when it comes to, you know, just being convicted in your heart, you know, even I had some of my ministerial friends kind of try to discourage me when I wanted to go back into the military. Oh, you're wasting your gifting and your education. And look, I was raised that patriotism was a virtue. I could care less what they had to say. I, you know, and they made fun. I got my, you know, high and tight and this and that. I could care less what you say. That's who I am. That's what I believe in. And we've got to be a little more independent in that way. Unfortunately, we have thin skin and everybody thinks alike. That's frustrating to a professor coming into a classroom, given different ideas, when everybody thinks you can almost surmise what's going to be said, because you know what the, you know, trend is, what's just going on in the trend. It's a shame. You know what? And even if somebody believed differently, they don't have the courage to stand up and say so.
Ooh, that is
when you raise children like that, you've not raised them to have any backbone.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's really great that you brought that up, because it's like you can watch it. Like I'll go to events, and I'm sure, Rich, you do the same, where we speak to large groups of people and you look around and they look at each other before they make a response. What I like is the person that stands up in the middle of the crowd and says, "This is what I think." And they're not afraid, and they're not looking around thinking, is anybody looking at me? Is this going to hurt my reputation? They're going to speak their mind. That right there is a constitutionalist. So that is awesome what you said, and it is so true, so spot on. Let me ask you a question. Do you think – I'm going to ask both of you this. So as we've listened to these songs, great songs, by the way. Of course, you know, I'm partial to the country song, but I really like the lyrics in this second song as well, because it really spoke to my heart on a lot of things. But this type of thing has stifled not just what I would say, individuals from having their own views, but I believe this has stifled small business development, growth in America. People that used to go, Americans used to make stuff and do stuff. And it's like they're afraid to do anything now. What's your thoughts on that?
All right. Until this song came out, I might agree with you. Identified something that most Americans didn't understand what was happening. Suppression of freedom of speech under the guise of political correctness.
Yes.
So Trump, regardless of all his faults and his evils and the stuff, he was the spokesman for freedom of speech. And populists rallied around him. And we realized, whether we were populists or not, that the conservatives who had heart, who were beginning to buy into political correctness. We didn't want to offend people. we didn't want to offend people. And then we realized you were playing on our emotions to suppress our expression of our ideals.
That's
so
powerful.
The election of Trump, and I learned this from Europeans who observed this, that, you know, you're talking about a guy who's as a politician who is offensive as you could possibly be. And why he was popular? Because he was expressing the freedom of speech that was being suppressed by the left. Okay. So he got elected. And here's where we stand now.
And we talk about physical courage a lot, but we need to talk more about moral courage.
Go ahead.
Just like, no, what I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you.
The issue is,
about
freedom of speech. Go ahead.
He showed moral courage. And what I find is that people are afraid, for whatever reason, to exhibit moral courage.
Now, let's talk about the – look, I'm in a really good debate with liberals. If you just look at the charges against Trump, and we have 4 indictments and possibly a 5th, and if you embrace the fact he is guilty of all of them, this guy is a treasonous. This man is anti-constitutionalist, and he's a treasonous based on the charges committed against him. Your comment?
Well, you were talking earlier about freedom of speech. Go ahead, James.
If it's true, then obviously, you know, and again, so let's just say it like it is. If it's true,
Let's back up. The first thing you said was, if it's true.
Yes.
If it's true.
Yes.
Because I've been in this debate with a number of people. And here's the thing. All these articles that are written out there are based on the fact that all 4 indictments are true.
Okay.
There's only one. I'm going to tell you right now. With good lawyers, Trump can beat 3 of the 4 indictments. The one indictment that he is going to have a time trying to defeat is the mishandling of classified information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only defense he's going to have is to compare his case with Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified information. That's the issue. But the other 3, what, the one from New York, all right, the hush fund payment, they already knew. The federal government already knew that case didn't exist. So the state brings it up, all right? And then you have the other 2 indictments.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to, look, Trump to this day believes he won the election. Well, we're not going to talk about the fact that back then he knew he had lost and he's going to try to convince everybody to find him the vote. No, to this day, this guy still believes he won the election.
Well, a lot of
people
believe
right, and let's say, why is Hillary Clinton is not in jail for mishandling of classified emails?
It's
because the FBI said there's no proof of intent. It all comes down to intent.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the issue when it comes to law. You can sit there and you can look at all, if you're a liberal, anti-Trump, you can look at all the evidence you want and say Trump is guilty as hell.
Well, but, yeah,
you
but he's
got
be convicted.
To prove intent.
Yeah, he's got to be convicted.
He knew he had lost the election, which he still to this day denies.
Sure, yeah, I mean, it's hard to
go ahead.
It's hard to deal with that, but I will say, and here's what I say: no one is above the law, no one. So this is where I say to my fellow conservatives that you know, hey, look, he deserves a fair trial, okay? And but we can't just hold him accountable. We need to hold Hillary, Bill, Barack Obama,
and now the Biden.
Else,
oh my
know,
God, the Biden. The reality is, we got to put them all in jail if we want.
Absolutely.
If we really want a fair government, we got to put them all in jail. All
yeah.
of them.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I think that's the problem that we get into, and this is where I can't stand. This is where I'm just as angry at the right as I am at the left, because they both play by the same dirty game. It's like, well, we'll allow our guys to break the law, but when your guys break the law, no. It's when you all break the law. And this is where I run afoul with some of my fellow conservatives around the country. They cannot stand the fact that it's like there's a standard. You have to meet it just like everybody else. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't cheat, and you don't tolerate others that do. You don't break the law. That's it. Just don't break the law.
No,
and
that's it. No, James, that's the standard you and I grew up with. That's no longer the standard. Look, a political party is going to vote for a man who is brain damaged from a stroke,
right,
who has to be told what button to push. A woman who is in her 90s, who starts pontificating about something, and they say, no, you got to change your vote from this to this, okay? Look, and we got a president who's senile, okay? They have to show him which direction he has to walk off the stage. It's
that's
no longer about intelligence. No, it has nothing to do with intelligence. Politics today is my party against your party, my way against your way. So if we got a brain dead, someone who is fucking brain dead on a respirator,
hey,
who is running for your party, you're going to, if you have the majority of the votes, you're going to vote for that person because somebody is going to take that brain dead person and show them what button to push. That's what it comes down to. We are no longer really looking for governance anymore. It is party line. Everything is party line. And consequence of that is if one, whatever, when we come to the national elections,
mm-hmm,
if the party winning disagrees with the outcome. Now, Trump has 4 indictments related to that. Let's go back to 2016. Did Hillary agree with the election? Did we hear from politicians saying that the electoral candidates could change their vote? Even though you were elected to vote party line, Republican, Democrat, but because Trump won the Electoral College, you can change your vote. And some of them did. Now,
yeah,
not enough. Yeah, I think there was four electoral candidates who were for the Republican Party, voted for Hillary, and two from the Democratic Party voted for Hillary. But the fact is, there were political party members advocating against, well, it was within the Constitution, but they were skirting the edge of it. Things we are charging Donald Trump for happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Father Michael, we've got, where are we at? We've got less than 10 minutes. So I'd like for you to give us the conclusion, give us a good wrap up, and then take us into prayer, and then we'll let you close out the show, my friend.
Yes, all sir. Right. Well, I think we have to really look at the level of corruption, that has always been in government, and when people become drunk with power, they abuse it, taking bribes. I mean, we've seen this in government with police officers. We've seen it in the clergy. And I think we have to take some stock in ourselves that sometimes our leaders are no better than we are. They simply reflect. I wouldn't say that America is a righteous place. I think that there are a lot of good-intentioned people that try to do well, are trusting God for their salvation. But really, we're not a moral people. We're not a people that lives according to conscience and honesty and integrity, especially when we were in the Army. You know, we talked about integrity, integrity, integrity. Well, being integrated or understanding an integer means you're a whole person. You're the same person in the dark when no one sees you but God, as you are with your personal persona. So just like Paul said, he's the chiefest of sinners. And I know I'm a sinner. That's why I go to confession once a month. I think we're expecting a lot of our culture, our society, our country, but we're unwilling to also be righteous and people who humble themselves before God. I think there's a great arrogance in our country, a hubris through a lot of our elected officials. I don't know how often we pray for them. I saw a woman Marine who's running for a position out of San Diego. And, you know, they showed a really good commercial of her visiting the street people and understanding the veterans. But as you stated earlier, James, something happens, whether people get drunk on power or they're just afraid to be different because they want to be elected again in a couple of years. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take in our country, but I have to be honest with you. I'm very disappointed. Even my parents, who were both born in 1918, you know, after the Second World War, it was happy days are here again. And then we got the Dr. Spock, and a lot of us grew up and produced the 60s because of being indulged. So I don't have a lot of hope for our country politically at all, unless we really turn to the Lord and act like righteous people and treat each other. When we used to be able to shake hands over a deal, which I was able to do recently in our new situation, which got approved, by the way, by the city planning. And I'm just afraid that we're expecting so much from our political leaders, but they simply are mirroring like a mirror our own corruption. God help us. We really need to repent, pray for our leaders, but it's very easy for us to point fingers when maybe perhaps in our own domestic areas, we're not living in the same integrity that we're expecting them. Yet they have a greater responsibility. They're supposed to stand for something. I believe that. But it's very discouraging because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And our country is really on a downward spiral. And God have mercy on us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity for us to share together. And Lord, we don't understand the complexity of many of the problems we talk about, but you understand all things. You understand the human heart. You understand the tendencies that we have toward greed and self-adulation. And I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon our country, especially on those in Hawaii and in East Palestine, where it seems like there's an indifference from the government. Oh, God, we just pray, Lord, that you'd bring us together, that you'd raise up a leader that will do the right things. I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. 4 minutes left.
Amen. Amen. Rich, parting comments?
Hey, buy my books, okay? Go to Amazon. look up Richard Kilblaine, Kilblaine, K-I-L-B-L-A-N-E, and Father Michael Pacella, P-A-C-E-L-L-A, okay? look up our book, all right? My most popular book is The Filthy 13, but They Were the Rough Riders is written just as exciting as well as The Filthy 13. All right.
Rich, I need you to set up another metal detecting event at your place. You need to find me some more places to go dig. I want to go, and I'll bring extra detectors this next time. You think you can set something up?
Yeah, actually one for me this time, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it. I'll bring it. I promise I'll bring it. Yes, absolutely. My wife, that's who I blame for not bringing it the last time, because she had too much stuff in the back of the car. So, but, yeah, we'll bring it. We'll bring it. But, yeah, I think a good time to go there, Rich, is going to be closer to December, whenever there's not any foliage out there. I'd like to go back.
I know the place to go. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to go out there and ask them. But it's now a solar panel farm. So I don't think they care about metal detecting.
Yeah, it'll be tough in that area. But you know, we can get around. They'll set it off, and if you get too close.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Because where it was the majority of the divisions of the Army of the Potomac were around Savage Station, and the fact is the solar panels are near there, but not where all the logistics and the hospitals were.
Yeah,
okay. But I'm sure that a lot of people have already picked that area over. Okay,
yeah.
So we're getting leftovers.
Well, I'm telling you, the machines that I've got, as you know, we can get it down there pretty deep, and there's never a place that I've ever been that we always find some. Well, you know, look at Scary Creek. You know, when we went out there, you found a bullet out there. People found stuff out there, and I plan on going there again. But I have learned, it's the best time to go is when the ground is a lot cooler, and I get better signals. I don't know if you know, I don't have time to talk about that, but we got about 50 seconds left. But anyway, so we'll do it closer to the winter time. So we'll set it up. We'll set it up around December. All right, folks, thank you for listening in to Continue Mission. You know, sometimes we say some things and it's a little hard. And as I say, every Friday we come in here and, you know, we kick the devil in the teeth. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it is in a good way. Because we try to do righteous things, and when you do righteous and good things and you tell the truth, that's kicking the devil in the teeth. So, folks, every chance you get out and swing that foot and pop him right in the mouth by telling the truth, being decent people, being civil, and loving your neighbor. God bless you, and God bless America, folks. Thank you for listening in to Continue Mission. Rich, Father Michael, God bless you guys. Thank you for being with me.
Good night. God bless you.